This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
We've never ever been taught that these are the actual things that people are picking up on. And then because you're shying away, what happens? They feel unconfident and uncertain. Now, they don't want to open up to you. They don't want to have a conversation with you. And everyone's just butting heads. And the only way that you change all that is when you step up. And more and more, the more that you can actually do it for somebody. So if I go into a shop or a store or whatever, I'll recognize. If I recognized it in you, I would try and make you feel comfortable, right? If I was a customer of a store, I would pick up on you within 2 seconds that you would feel comfortable. And everywhere I go, I'd do it. And Natalie always, oh, you always make friends with like random people or whatever. And, like, she always says it. She's like, oh, how do you start these conversations with people? And I've never really explained. I'm doing it on purpose because I know they feel insecure as shit. And I'm trying to make them feel good about themselves so they get their fucking head up. They can have an adult conversation and feel good about them, you know, themselves and their life. Now, the reality is most people don't understand that and they're not doing that. So they're not going to come into your life and do it to you is the point. But you should be doing it to them. And again, if you want to get better at it in here, get better at it out there. Simple as that. You get stronger at holding conversations with people that initially feel awkward when you have them. And you'll know what I mean. Over the next few weeks, you hang around in here, very quickly, you'll start shopping in places where you're like, fucking hell. These people cannot even look me, they can't talk me, they can't give me service. It's atrocious. If you sat with me when I'm in that restaurant last night, right? I'm literally, everywhere I go, I'm just scanning, I'm looking at them going, are you gonna look me in the eye? Like, there's just, my brain's just going all the time. You're gonna look me in the eye, you're gonna do this, you're gonna talk to me, you're gonna ask me if I enjoyed it. My brain's just going all the time. That if I can't get it from them, I would try to start something with them. Not because I want it, it's because I want them to feel better about having that experience. So I'm not waiting for somebody to do it to me. I'm going to try and do it to them if I realize very quickly that they're not going to do it. You'll have seen me in America, in airports, whatever. I always try and have fun with people. Like I can do, or I try to do on purpose, particularly if they're not very confident. And you try to get some kind of spark, and it can come across at first as a little condescending, and it's not. I'm genuinely trying to break down a barrier for this person to feel confident around me so I can have a conversation with them eye to eye, man to man, you know, adult to adult type thing. And if everybody understood that, you'd raise everybody around you. So the answer to your, you know, this whole thing is you're not just doing it in here. You've got to go and do it. You've got to be, the next time you're in a situation where you're getting a coffee or you're getting a sandwich and that girl doesn't want to talk to you and she can't look at you, you have to force that. You have to force that situation. Because I promise you, if you do that over 3 months, you'll see it in here. Don't wait for them to make you feel good. You do it to make somebody else feel good. Fuck them if they don't want to play. It's not your fault. Like, it's not your issue, it's theirs. They're gonna have to live like that for the rest of their life. And that's the only solace that you can take in any of these situations. We've had issues in the house with plumbers. Natalie must have rang 6 plumbers. Fucking electricians took like however long to come round. Finally one came yesterday. Two were supposed to come last week for the heating in the house. Underfloor heating's been on. Boiling, so the house is like a fucking oven, right, for the last 10 days. So I come in on Monday and she goes, I said, oh, what about the plumber? Oh, don't talk about the plumber. Don't want to talk about the plumber. I was like, what happened? Didn't turn up again. And my only reaction is, I feel sorry for them. That they have to live such a shitty life that they can't. Natalie rang them 16 times, sent them messages, didn't answer the phone, begged them to come on the Monday, promised them he'd be there. This was the Friday. Oh, I'll be there Monday. They have such a shitty life, and that is a behavior and a habit that they will carry with them forever, and an indecency to give a fuck about people. Regardless of whether or not he's a good plumber or a good electrician, they'll have that indecency in their life, that ill-discipline their entire life. The only satisfaction that I get, right, when Natalie kicks off and rants and raves and whinges about fucking everybody, we don't live like that. Thank God. And if anything, I take it as a, the reason that we have potentially the life that we have where we're very happy and we can do whatever the fuck we want by and large is because we don't live like that. There is a certain amount of fucking respect and decency for myself that if I tell you that I'll be there, 99% of the times I'll show up on time, I'll do whatever, I might not be on time, but I'll be there. Give or take an hour, I'll be there. But you get the point, right? I wouldn't just switch the fucking phone off for a day. Is the issue? They've got no self-control. They've got no discipline. They've got no thought process. Like nothing. You watch how everybody speaks to each other. It's like it's not like all right. Like so when people acknowledge each other, there's just an acknowledgement. It's like all right, right. So I, like over the last year or two, I've learned to go into more of these situations and go hello, how are you, and be like quite eloquent about it and ask a response. So rather than a nonchalant, all right, and then like hand your stuff over, it's like hello. I literally use the word hello. How many people actually say hello? Nobody uses hello anymore, right? It makes you stand out instantly when you hello, how are you? And their reaction is, are you actually asking me a question there, or is this just like a all right? Listen to the language of most people. It's a all right. It's an acknowledgement that you're there. It's not a genuine interest in the life. So if I walked into the bank and went, all right, just need to do this, please. They're used to that all day long. Whereas now I walk into the bank and I'd look them in the eye. Hello, how are you? I'm good, thanks. How are you? I'm wonderful. I've had a great day. I'm happy to be here. I've got some checks to cash. I'm loving my life.
I'm coming, I'd be like, oh, you're
the sun is shining. there's one escaped from around the corner. Here he is again. Yeah, yeah. Check his checks. Check these signatures. These are not his. Yeah. Hello. Let's seriously do it. It's amazing. But I started doing it more from a like my own confidence point of view, that I'm just going to start getting used to standing there in silence awkwardly. Because it does. It's fucking great when you do it. There's at least a second silence where they're like, is this guy serious? Like, you can see their brain. Is he actually interested in me? Or is this like a... Is he taking the piss? Hello, how are you? I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm great. I've been here, there, and like I did it the other day when I went in, and she's trying to count her checks. She's trying to like add the numbers up and shit, and I'm still talking about what I've done, right? And at this point, she realizes that I'm actually having a conversation with her. So she puts all the checks, she like folds all the checks down, because obviously she can't concentrate on the numbers, and we just start engaging about shit. And then obviously I had to let her do it, and she goes on. But we had at least 2 or 3 minutes of, you know, genuine conversation. But I've started doing it more from a, I'm not taking part in your bullshit, all right. Like, I'm asking you, how are you? In the hope that I'll have a dialogue back. That we all feel good when we've had that type of conversation. Now, at first, the first 2 or 3 minutes, they're like, yeah, what a whack job this guy is, right? They do, and I know that. But after 5 or 10 minutes of it, they're like, ah, he's actually all right. Like, he actually gives a fuck, and he's quite interesting because he's interested in me, which is the difference. But nobody's prepared to do it. If you go into that bank hall and you're pissed off with them, fucking hell, you've just added to the reason that they're pissed off, because everybody is going in with that type of attitude. That nobody, them gals have not been lucky enough for somebody to sit down and go, this actually starts with you, you know. The reason that they're pissed off, the reason that you're all pissed off is because you're fucking projecting that on them. You're in jobs that you probably don't like, that you've lost energy for. You were promised pay rises. You were promised fucking progression over a 5, 10, 15 year period that didn't happen. You're watching your mates get made redundant. You're asking, you're getting asked to do more work for less pay. You're probably working longer hours and so on and so forth. That's why they're pissed off. And if you understand it, have a conversation with them and don't just see it from a, I want good customer service from you. Because if I expect that, when we moved to America, this is again classic, right? We moved to America, Natalie went, if I don't get a cake off the next door neighbors in the first 48 hours, I'll be really disappointed, right? I'm like, you've been watching too many fucking movies. Like, do you think that you sat there waiting to bake you a fucking cake, right? Because the English have arrived on the street, right? And we've got 2 cute kids, like, because that's in her head, her expectations. I said, well, how about this? You knock on their fucking door and you bake them a fucking cake and then see what happens to the relationship in the street. Did she do it? Did she fuck?
Did she
shout? Did she fuck? She didn't even do that. Well, I'll tell you what she did do. She whinged after a week and went, well, they didn't even get a cake. And I'm like, but you've just made yourself pissed off. That's not them. You did that on purpose. You had a choice to change that entire situation. Would have been wonderful if we'd have racked up and knocked on the 2 doors around us and gone, hello, just to let you know, my name's so-and-so, these are my kids, you're going to see us on the street, I'd like to welcome ourselves to your street. And at this point, it would have closed the door and they'd have gone, there's a couple of whack jobs. There's a couple of wackos just moved in. Like, you know, the British are in. Yeah, there'll be a fucking flag outside in a minute. Like, of course it would, yeah. But it would change the it's dynamics.
You just wait till, like,
because nobody thinks. Everybody's just wrapped up, and this is, take all of this conversation what you want. It's not just about patience. If you have a more confidence in yourself, you have more understanding of your life and enjoyment of it. That's one thing I've learned more over the last few years than anything. That anything that I need you to do as a boss, right, actually starts with changing the person. That any like success that you want in life has to come with what ultimately changes first. That if I'm giving you all sorts of advice and how to go and sell plans of care and all this shit, right, it's fucking irrelevant if your brain's consumed with anger and frustration and doubt and negativity, and it's like, oh shit, this sounds really good, but I can't do this because I'm 21. I can't do this because I'm different, right? And if I don't give you that overall understanding of it, what's the point? Therefore, the best thing that I can do is help you see it. Figure out your own fucking plan of care, right? Of how you're gonna sell it. You'll figure out your own what you're gonna say to that guy if you understand ultimately what he wants. You'll figure out your own way of coming in and improving customer service if you feel better about yourself. And instead of waiting for somebody to make you feel good, you feel good because you attempted to make them feel good. And if they don't get the joke, fuck them. Like, in the nicest possible way. Like, that, you're not bringing me into this shit. There's my mentality. If I go into that bank call, you're not bringing me into this shithole. Like, I'll be here, but I'm not taking part in this game. Like, under no circumstances am I taking part in any of this shit that's going on around it. Only because I've learning to pull out of all of it. There is a better way to live. There's a better way to have conversations with people. There's a better way to approach your situation. You're definitely not bringing your fears and your insecurities into my life. Go fuck yourself. If you think for one second you're bringing any of that into this world, that's the biggest shift in my life over the last year or two, all of the stuff that I've been up to and traveling and haven't been sat in this seat as much as I used to be, is learning that I have 100% choice as to how I feel about that situation. It's a right I'll exercise on a daily basis, and I won't even stop going into those places. Before, I used to just think, oh, I'll stop going. That was like, even a few, up until 2 years ago, I'd have been like, oh, I'm not going in there because they're miserable. I don't give a fuck. How about I go in and change the place, I'll make myself laugh. If they're not gonna laugh, I'll fucking make myself laugh in these places. Just because it's awkward. I remember doing this in Australia, and this is when I started to kind of understand this stuff. In Australia, I mean, I love being out there, but the service in many places is not, it's just abrupt. It's like, it's just straight up and down, right? It's not bad, it's not good, it's just straight up and down, is my experience of it. So in McDonald's one day, in Australia, they'll say, how are you going? That's what they'll say, like, How are you going, right? Like, we'd say, how are you? Or whatever, they'll say, how are you going? I'm like, yeah, I'm great, thanks. I responded with, and how are you? And the girl didn't know what to ask. And I responded, yeah, I was like, how are you? And like, she looked at a friend who was like on the till next to her as if to say, like, what do we say here? Like, are we allowed?
You know how I am?
Like, do we actually respond to this? Because it was such a, almost in Britain where we say, all right, and then there's no real response after. In America, in Australia, it was the same. It was like, how are you going? And normally it's, good, thanks, I'll have a McDonald's, or I'll have a burger or whatever. Mine was, oh, I'm good, how are you? And because I genuinely stopped and asked the question, she's like, yeah, I'm going all right. Oh, good, can I have a cheeseburger? Like, please? Nobody takes the time to actually respond to the question that you've asked. Genuinely. And I promise you, when you start to look somebody in the eye, like, pause, open your mouth so that they can actually see it, rather than just, all right. And that's what I mean by that. Even just, hello, how are you? I'm good. What's going on? Stop. That type of getting used to the silence, right? And this is where we're going with it. The getting used to that awkward, what feels awkward, which actually isn't. It's because we've all just conditioned ourselves to, like, not really hear what people are saying. And we just nonchalantly ask, are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. And then we're like straight onto the things. Like, no, you're not. Like, that didn't really give me a response. Say, yeah, cool, how are you? Starting with hello is wonderful. I promise you, it'll change the way that they even hear you. Hello, how are you? Like, you've come into their well so soft and so nice and calm and genuinely interested in what they are doing or up to. They find it very difficult not to respond to you. And occasionally you do have to have two or three questions up your sleeve if you like to start the conversation. But when you do, it's usually pretty good. Most people are pretty decent people. They just don't know how to be.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.